As we get to Weekend Wagers now, brought to you by WeekendWagers.com. Go there, sign up for the free newsletter. Also, you can enter to win in the heptathlon, which is 7 picks. And no one's the best they've had so far is 5. And if nobody gets 7 out of 7, it's free for you to play, and the pot increases every week. So you can go there, sign up at the newsletter for free, and then you can get in on the heptathlon if you feel you know how to play different sports and different games. Motown Fisher from WeekendWagers.com joins us once again. And interesting, for those going to the game tonight, now there's, if we go by trends, you're thinking it's going to be low scoring. There isn't Marc-Andre Fleury in net, so maybe that changes it. The Oilers are a team that gives up a lot of 5-on-5 goals, and everybody's waiting for Kessel and Malkin and Crosby to score. But the Penguins have only gone over once.
One time in 12.
Year, in 12 games.
1-8-3.
And the line is, the over-under is 5 on the game tonight.
And it's heavily chalked. The chalk being, it's a heavy favorite for an over-under, for a total.
It's a heavy favorite to go under? To go over.
Well, 5 is one of those key numbers, right?
Yeah, because 3-2 and you're screwed.
Because 3-2, well, 3-2 is a push.
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously, a lot of people feel comfortable betting the 5 that somebody's going to win 2-2 and, you know, getting, obviously it has to go to 3-2. But, you know, our numbers are pretty even, but definitely the Oilers have a shot here just to, honestly, to win the game. I really believe that.
So what's your odds then? You must be getting good
plus
on the
130.
Under. On the under?
Plus 130 for the Oilers to win.
Oh, okay.
And I think the game's going to be a lot more even than most people suggest, particularly off of the injury, off of the injury.
Yeah, and a few days break for the Oilers. They're definitely well rested.
I think this is, considering how close our numbers are to this game, I think the value is definitely in the Oilers. I don't know if I would play it. I like to think I want to play this game at plus 130, particularly at home, particularly off the injury. I think there's a little bit of an overreaction. Obviously, everybody's talking about the Pens and their defense. I definitely think this both has a chance of being an Oiler-type game, an Oiler-type 5-4, 4-3 type game.
Today, the first step of what I think is going to be a long process, the Fantasy Sports Trade Association, by the way, I never even knew there was such a thing, but the Fantasy Sports Trade Association appointed former acting U.S. Secretary of Labor Seth Harris to create Fantasy Sports Control Agency. What is this going to mean?
Supposedly, it's the first step that, especially internally, that Fantasy Sports is going to be regulated within themselves, that will this, you know, be a token to start the process to the strict, transparent self-regulation. You know, what will that mean in the long run? Again, we're not sure, but apparently it's made up of, ethical and financial standards.
Yeah, and what are the financial standards?
Well, I imagine opening.
So you'd have to, because they'd have to meet to show that, because I know at casinos, for instance, right, like they have to pay out at certain tables, like at the slots, I think they got to pay out something like 91% or 98%.
Well, there's definitely
something
ethics,
right?
There's definitely percentages of what you can and you know, should produce. I don't know exactly what this is going to produce. Is it just going to be opening their books to be more transparent, particularly with those pieces that happened recently with, again, they're still investigating the FanDuel DraftKings situation with, $300,000 won between one employee and playing on the other person's site. But on the other side, the national committees and this is obviously a big move for them, considering how Nevada has essentially called them all gamblers.
Now, since 1992, it's the biggest dollar differential between football and baseball right now. And you have, football is it's not just one day, but you got Thursday and then Monday, but then it's majority games on Sunday. Is that why, people get a break and maybe they can study more, whereas baseball is every day all the time, so there's not as much interest? Or is it because baseball used to be like the pastime for Americans? So why is it? Is there better lines? Is there more money to be made? Why is football have so much significant more legal wagering on it than baseball?
Well, as we talked over the last year, Jason, the numbers actually are way, or the game itself, most people consider as a general statement, NFL lines are far tougher. I mean, you have a week to adjust based on injuries and everything else. And I think it's just the hype of why the NFL is on its own one of the premier leagues in the entire world, because everybody waits, you know, the patience thing. Everybody waits 5 to 7 days to watch this card of games that all go off at once versus the everyday thing of that baseball offers. Again, it's hard to fathom really how baseball has really dropped over the last year, over the last number of years, particularly the last year's handle, the handle being how much was taken on football and baseball. Keep in mind that football includes college football, which is, again, another huge Saturday for most Americans, is almost $2 billion, $1.7 billion taken legally in Nevada in legal sports books versus 700,000 or 700 million on baseball, considering how many more games there are in baseball. And even just this last week, Denver and Green Bay took 10 times more money than the World Series clincher. So what does that say? I don't know. Baseball is growing, but on the other side, football is still king in the gambling world.
Looking at, we talked about the Penguins and their over-under only once so far in 12 games. There are some unique games. The Miami Hurricanes Duke Blue Devils, where the refs were suspended afterwards because of that one. That one actually impacted the over-under guys significantly, right?
It was only 26 points going into the fourth quarter. And then a couple touchdowns here and there. It was 27-21 with 6 seconds left. The bad beat here was obviously, if everybody, you know, it's pretty easy to look up now. The 8 laterals that ultimately should have been called back killed the over-under of 52. Not just that, it also got the Hurricanes a money line win. They were 10-point dogs, which translated roughly to about a plus 300 win or 3-1 odds.
Wow.
To take that down. And now, of course, it's opened the door to say, could that play have been reviewed, et cetera, et cetera? Well, at the end of the day, there was a lot of miracles. I mean, one person's bad beat is another person's miracle. Look at the World Series. That unbelievable. If you want to talk about not just the fact that the Royals won the game, but those that had, I mean, obviously the odds for them to win, I think it was probably at that moment, probably somewhere around 10, 12-1, if not bigger. But the under 7, imagine you have under 7 runs with 3 outs left, and somehow they get the 2 runs to tie it up, and you go, okay, well, there you go. But you still, to lose this game, you still need 4 runs against you, and only in the top half of an inning, because obviously any run scored in the bottom is a walk-off, and it's over, barring a grand slam. And obviously we saw the result, 5 runs in the top of... Was it 13, 14?
Yeah, 14th inning.
14th inning. Yeah, that was a bad beat. Again, one person's bad beat is another person's miracle. Somebody's pretty happy, hitting that over.
Well, there's probably a few people that had thrown away their tickets and then had to go pull them out of the garbage. That happens quite often. Weekendwagers.com, where you can go sign up for the free newsletter, get into the heptathlon event going on right now. When you have a team like Denver shut down one of the best quarterbacks in the game to less than 100 passing yards, and everyone was, okay, that defense is legit. Now they're on the road. They're only 4.5-point favorites. Why is that in Indianapolis, who is 3-5 and has the worst offensive line in football against the best defense? Do they put that line so low because they assume that Denver is maybe going to sit back? Because that one makes no sense to me.
Well, what would you put the line at? You're the line maker, Jason.
Like Indianapolis is terrible.
They're on the road, though. Indianapolis is terrible, but like even last week, they're
terrible. I put it at 6.5.
You put it at 6.5?
At least make you think, okay, can they win by a touchdown?
But remember, there's sort of a no man's land between 4.5, 5.5, and 6. So if you put it more, you know, what's your gamble in this game? Do you want people to bet Denver? Do you want people to bet Indy? That's the question. Right now, at 4.5, with respect to what you just said, there's 65% of the bets at this point on a Friday going on Denver. In another game, here's another one, Atlanta -7, 69% of the bets are on Atlanta. If you look last week, which is, again, completely bizarre when you look at the turnarounds, last week we saw the Packers as a 71%, all the money was 71% of the public betting on the Packers. And basically, the books really got lucky in that sense of how strong that play was on the Packers and the Broncos winning. So now they're on the road. So basically, people were writing not writing off the Broncos. They're clearly one of the top teams in the league. But against the Packers, they clearly showed they could do what needed to be done. Obviously, the public now is all over the Broncos going into Indy. But at the same time, we have to look at how close Indy has played these games. So this line might get to 6.5. You know, they just didn't want to start it there. But obviously, a lot of the money coming in right now is on Denver.
Yeah, as it should be. Indianapolis is terrible. And I know they made a coaching change and people think that that'll rally them, but I don't suddenly think their offensive line can be good against the best defense in the league. Right? Like, Andrew Luck is not Aaron Rodgers, and the O-line in Indianapolis is not close, and they crushed them. So I can see Denver winning big in this game. There is only one meaningful game in the CFL, and I would look at it and say maybe it's one of – and I preface this by saying there's no such thing as easy, but one where, man, the over-under in the Hamilton-Ottawa game, Hamilton's got Jeremiah Mazzoli, you know, two guys who we saw here in Edmonton that were never really good quarterbacks. That's their starting quarterback. So they're going to roll, you know, Mazzoli sounds like he's going to get the start against Ottawa, who has obviously a lot to play for in that game. They combined for 18 points last week. Obviously, it's the CFL, so they'll get more than that again. I doubt you're going to see under 20 total. But a line of 48.5 seems a fair wager to want to go under in a CFL game, which in a lot of times, CFL has been going over.
Yeah, and remember last week we also said on this show that we really liked the under. But last week I believe it was 52 or 52 and a half, and we said under, and clearly we put that one in the right place. This week it's a little different. The line started at 50. It's moved down to 48 and a half, and even in some places 48. But for the same reasons you've mentioned, and you know, common sense. Gambling is not always about common sense, but this is one of those that definitely feels like they could just continue whatever ugliness we saw last week and just put it right back into the final week. Definitely seems, you know, I'm making this as one of my Motown momentum plays that I do in the newsletter that I do every week, especially on the weekends. We run two newsletters on Saturday and Sunday. This is definitely one of those that I'm making an official play under 48 and a half.
And you can go to the Weekend Wagers site to get their momentum plays of the week. Lots in the NFL for people who are interested. Also play the heptathlon. What is your – is it Man City, Man U this week?
No, we haven't decided which EPL game we're going to put in just yet. But basically the games start. We give everybody 24 hours once I put the link up. We give everybody 24 hours to come in tomorrow for the 5 o'clock for the 5 o'clock hockey games. Last week, the 5 out of 7 was interesting because 95% of people, particularly since this is an Edmonton show, did bet the Oilers or pretend bet
the Oilers. Yeah, and they got screwed over with 8 seconds left.
And we know what happened in that result.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
I understand why they went with them.
But the other game we really like this week, we like the Giants. That's another one I'm putting as a momentum play. Last week was a heck of a show. But we also know that Tom Coughlin is really good at fixing problems. He's a solid 85-52, 62% against the spread after a game where the defense has allowed 14 or more points. Again, he's really good at reacting. His record in conference game against the spread is also 84-63, and Lovie Smith at home off a win is only 16-22. So those are some of the stats that we really like. I'll probably get into a little more depth than that in the newsletter, but the other thing that you got to be really wary of in this game, I find the 49.5 really tight. I'd be really worried about the over. My lean is definitely on, it's on the over, but it's not, I can't make that official play just because of all the points that these teams have scored. Atlanta coming, or Tampa Bay coming off of the Atlanta game where they scored a bunch. And as well, obviously, after you get 100 points, the Giants definitely have the public favorite to go over.
Go to weekendwagers.com. Motown will have his momentum picks of the week. We'll talk to you next Friday.
Thanks, Jason. See you next week.